The following may contain language which will be offensive to some people and inappropriate for children. The topics discussed may include drugs, alcohol, or be sexual in nature. This show is intended for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. I'm serious. It's dirty. Really, really dirty. Its pulsating sounds penetrate deep into your ear canal to stimulate your cochlea in ways no other show can. This is your final warning. Still here? Then pour your favorite beverage, sit back, and let's get this fucking show started. Listener discretion is advised.
Previously on Fantastic Forum.
We went into deep philosophical musings on why Henry Cavill is a good Superman and why he isn't.
We relitigated the whole Nolan series, like all three Dark Knight movies.
We actually sounded like a good show at the beginning.
I'm here to help. I've always played a support role on this show. I feel like the rest of you are the stars.
And I agree, but that doesn't wipe the tears off of intern's face.
You're inferring things here. Nah, listen, let me finish before you try to label me as fake news.
Tune in to Fantastic Forum Live, Wednesday nights, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific on allgames.com.
It's dirty. Really, really dirty.
We now return you to Robin, Boy Wonder.
The only way he could bang regular chicks is with a kryptonite condom. That would kill him.
Fantastic Forum, assemble. We're back at you again. We are Fantastic Forum, your weekly source for comic book news, comic book reviews, comic book boos, and then stuff that we boo, and stuff that we praise, and movies and trailers, and every now and then some social commentary. Thank you for being with us today. Today's show is a little bit of a weird one. There's no Larry, there's no Oz. I thought there was no Joe, but he's here, so thank Satan for that. Yeah.
No, so, don't thank that guy. He's a douche.
He's the bringer of light and knowledge.
No.
Yeah.
You're thinking of that other guy.
Prometheus?
Right.
Yeah, it's the same thing. He's the guy that went against the gods for humans. Same thing.
Nah.
And he regenerated organs just like reptiles, which is kind of like Satan. But this is not a show about theology. This is a show about comics and pop culture and a little bit of shit talking. I'll try to do the Larry thing where I can be a little more optimistic and to the point of naivete. So be on the lookout for that. Hopefully I can pull it off. I would try to be like Oz, but I can't muster it up. It's too much. Aside from that, we do have a pretty good show. There's a lot to talk about. We have the Captain Marvel trailer that debuted yesterday. We're going to be reviewing the trailer. If you can, fathom that. It's a review of a trailer, not even the full movie. This past weekend, the DC Comics, DC Universe app launched, which has comics in it and movies and TV shows and all that. I got to... Oh, you tried it already or no?
No, it's not available on PS4.
Oh my god, are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I actually downloaded on every platform I have. I didn't get to do it on my Xbox because I only have the 500 gig hard drive, so I didn't want to clog it up with another app. But I did my I did my old iPad, works fine. My phone works fine. And my Apple TV works fine. But, you know, we'll get to that a little bit, in a little bit later. I have a review of Actual Comics, which is another another part of the show that you might be tickled by. This week I have a review for Batman Damned, which is I believe the first issue of the new DC Comics Black label or imprint, I guess. I'm thinking in music terms, but yeah, it's a more mature and I guess, well, I'll explain it to you when we get there. Aside from that, there's Predator, the remake of the Arnold Schwarzenegger classic, starring one of my favorite human beings on the planet, Jesse the Body Ventura, but he's not in the new one, as far as I know. That came out. We'll be bringing you a little bit of that. In the meantime, I'd like to introduce you to the people that are making this possible today. So you already heard from Joe. Joe's over here from the... You haven't heard him in a while, because he's been... where have you been, Joe?
Having technical issues, mainly.
Oh, yeah, what happened?
I don't know. Like, the last time I tried to come on the show, I called and Oz picked up, and we could hear each other fine. But then when he called me back, because you had gotten put on hold during that, you guys couldn't hear me anymore. It was weird.
That's so odd.
I know, right?
Yeah. I'm actually like researching interface peripherals so that we can all use the same one when we're like remote, you know, like if you use your phone, you can use that peripheral so that anything that happens, I can just guide you through it. It's the exact same one that I'll be using, and hopefully Larry and Oz, but I'm still trying to see which one's the best one that works for all our devices. So that means if you use your computer, you can still use it. If you use a burner phone, you can still use it. If it's actually kind of cool, the one I'm looking at, where you can actually use an XLR mic into your burner phone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, but, you know, it's just one of those things where, hey, it's going to take a little bit of an investment, but it's outdated technology technically, so it's not that expensive, but I'm just trying to see what are the best options, so hopefully that, you know, we'll never have technical issues ever again. And so in your time that you haven't been able to be on the show, Joe, what have you been up to, like reading, doing, putting your penis into, like?
Well, I've been keeping up with my anime. Black Clover is like really hot right now.
But is it good? Like, are you enjoying it?
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't get past the first four episodes.
I get that. I do get that. Like, Asta can be kind of a lot.
Yeah.
For me, the concept was worth hanging on.
Okay.
And the story is getting just so much good. Like, it just keeps getting better.
Okay. What episode would you say? No, no, go ahead.
You might be happy to know that there are some parts with him where he's not in it, where they focus on the other guy. So you may want to check those episodes out, at least.
Okay. What, for you, what do you think was the tipping point where you were like, okay, I'm sticking through it because I like the concept. But what episode were you like, okay, I'm glad I stuck through it because now it's good? Almost every anime kind of has that point, especially like when you're first starting to watch anime, you're a little thrown off because the dynamics are so weird. The art's weird. The voices are weird. Like, there's always that like, you know, usually with really good ones, or at least what I consider good ones, when I watch them, is like I'm hooked right from like episode one or two. But like, even Evangelion, like one of my favorites, like episode eight was the one where it's like, okay, I'm binging this motherfucker.
You know, the episode for me, and I don't remember what the number was, it might be in the first four, but there's basically a part where they become magic knights. Like, okay. I don't know if I have to explain all of this, but
at this point, I don't think you should. Like, even if you've been intrigued to watch Black Clover, like, you should know what magic knights are. Like, even if you just read description.
Right. So there's a scene where they want to become magic knights, and they have like one-on-one fights. And Asta has no magic. And so he meets this guy who's like, oh, well, I'll fight him. Like, no one wants to fight him because no one wants to, like, fight a guy with no magic. But this one guy comes up to him and he wants to fight. And in his mind, he's like, well, you know, I'll be able to demonstrate all my powers without worrying. And I'll make this huge spectacle out of it. And then as soon as they say go, Asta just, like, knocks the fuck out of him. And it's like, he's basically says, like, hey, I didn't come here to lose. lose. And it's like, that moment is like, yeah, I need to be, like, this is it.
I don't think I got that far.
Okay.
But I'll give it another shot. I feel like it was the first four episodes, because they were like 20 minutes, 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it probably was like two or three. I know for sure, because, you know, I do watch it at work, or I did try watching it at work. So it could have been one of those things where I get a customer, and that's kind of usually the litmus test. I don't know what litmus is, or who he is, or why he made that test. I just know it's an expression, but
right.
It's usually, if it could pique my interest while I'm concentrating on not fucking up somebody's hair, then it's like, okay, this is the shit. This is something that's really captivating, really enthralling, you know? So it could have been like two or three episodes that I did watch, or at least that I remember watching, yeah?
Right.
But I will give it another shot based on what you just said, because that does sound cool.
Yeah.
And
I mean, he has so much heart. Like, Asta just has so much heart. It's like, to me, it kind of makes up for how loud and noisy he is. Because you see him in these predicaments where anybody would just, like, give up. And he's, like, going through and inspiring everyone to, like, surpass their limits. It's good. Like, I like it a lot.
Cool. So that's a quick Joe recommendation for you out there. If you're not watching Black Clover, watch the first eight episodes. Another person we have on the line that's making this all happen tonight, and I thank him deeply, and I apologize in advance for berating him, belittling him, making fun of his speaking affect or glasses or whatever the fuck. We'll see when we get there. It's Tiger Claw. Tiger Claw, you're manning the boards right now, right?
Yeah, for the time being, until until you know who comes back.
Voldemort?
Either Larry or Oscar, whichever the two that broadcast the show.
Yeah. They have better things to do.
Yeah, man. It's probably work.
It's always work. That's the problem. It's like, if all you people listening would each send $1 million, like, we wouldn't have to work. So we could just talk to you once a week. I love how I just didn't say, like, oh, we'll just talk to you all the time. No, just once a week, so, right. For $1 million.
Like, that's the hilarious part. It's like, for $1 million, we'll talk to you once a week.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, the goal in life is to get paid more to do less work, right? Like, it's never to get paid more, like, to do more.
Yeah, I was hoping that there would be a job someday where you not get paid it, nothing at all.
But, Tyreclaw, isn't that what you do, like, every day?
No, I actually do work.
What? Where?
I make window screens. It's not an everyday thing. It's not like a go there every day.
Yeah.
Whenever they have screens that they need to be done, I'm there.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. How do you like doing that? Like, you work with your hands a lot, and it's very technical. Like,
I do the more simpler stuff, like putting the screen on the frame. All the other stuff, like the measuring and then the cutting, they do that.
Okay,
I just do the.
So you just use use that rubber tubing to, like, lock it in and everything.
Yeah, I put it on a table that's made entirely of wood, and then I put the little things on the side so that it holds it in place, and then put the material, whatever that's called, the screen part, and use the plastic to tighten it in there.
The little mesh. Yeah. Wow.
It's easy. It's easy, but sometimes it get a little fatigued at times.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's intricate work with your fingers and your hands. Like, don't talk it down. Like, I used to walk my dog past a screen place, and it's like, it would have all these, like, intricate screens, like, on display, like a showroom. And it's like, yeah, we could do this for your house. We could do this. And I'm like, wow, this is kind of like, it's craft. Like, it's a craft that I respect, and I like looking. Yeah.
Yeah, those things are actually handmade, believe it or not.
Yeah, totally. They're all handmade. You can't, because it is so intricate, you can't have a machine just do it.
True.
And I guess that's why I respect it.
Yeah, because not all screen sizes are the same. Some people have very...
No, not all windows are the same. They're almost, like, by nature, like, your job is all custom work.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But it pays. It pays by the hour.
Hey, look, you don't have to add a butt. Like, just the skill itself, for me, I respect the skill. Yeah, that's something, yeah. Well, look, the more you know. Like, I'm glad I got to interview Tiger Claw about his life today. Fantastic Forum over. You can play the wrap-up music. Yeah, see you next week. for $1 million. But yeah, so if people do need to call in, they could call you, Tiger Claw, which is what is your Skype handle?
Well, I'm using the All Games Network Skype. If you want to call in, okay, you're going to have to add All Games Network on Skype.
Okay. All Games Network on Skype. That is...
Yeah, All Games Network, live, one word.
If you want to tell us what, you know, how shitty the Captain Marvel trailer is or whatever, like, or even if you love it, like, I guess I can entertain that since I'm being part Larry today. I can just laugh at anything off without having to get angry. And then, you know, we can listen to you and not judge you. But yeah, so that's the show for today. And I guess we could just jump in. The big news of the week. No matter what comic books came out today on a Wednesday, new comic book day, no matter the DC app that came out on the weekend on quote-unquote Batman Day, is the Captain Marvel trailer. So Joe, did you get to see it while we were doing the intro?
I did.
Did you get to, like, listen to it too or no?
Yeah, I listened to it.
Okay, cool. Tell me what you think. Tell me what your impressions are.
My impressions are mixed. Like, all the Earth stuff looks kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Like, they rebuilt the Blockbuster video so they could film there. And they have, like, all the cars are, like, actual 80s cars.
Yeah.
Which was, like, it looked super cool. Like, yeah, aesthetically, the Earth part. And I love she punched that old woman in the face. That was yeah, awesome.
And they don't even tell you it's a Skrull. Like, you know, if you use comics... You know it's a Skrull, but if you don't read comics, it's like, this bitch is punching old lady.
I think
which right, nowadays in viral videos, it's not even that, like, shocking. I actually found that one of the most shocking parts of the trailer is when we talked about it at the shop, how people didn't find that shocking. Because I was still shocked by it, and my comic book mind kicked in, and it's like, oh, it's a Skrull.
But you know,
go ahead,
you know, yeah, but you know that whole scene with the old lady being punched, I think that Marvel Studios subverting expectation, because normally by instinct you would think, oh, she must be a Skrull, right? But I think it's possible that she might not be a Skrull, but the Skrull goes into the train, she's looking for him, and she sees his lady, and his lady gives her the weird look, and that's right there is when she thinks that lady is a Skrull, and it punches her outright, when it turns out to not. I think that's what's going to happen, because, you know, Marvel, they subvert expectations all the time, so even though the trailers show you what you think you want to see, it's not usually the case.
My only problem with that theory is that if that were the case, Captain Marvel is so strong that she would have broken her neck and, like, knocked her out of her seat, but she's just there still sitting there after the punch.
You know, the weird thing that scares me about that Tiger Claw theory is Tiger Claw's X video search history, because he's, like, putting all this in. He's like, that's what he wants to see. Like, nah, man, like, it's a Skrull. That's it. It's a Skrull. Leave it at that. Like, he's over here writing a script on what it's gonna be, you know. Like, it's like he wasn't content enough with being, yep, like, oh, it's a Skrull.
But you have to remember that this is a teaser, and they put that scene there for a reason to, you know, to make the people who are the fans think that, you know, she might be a Skrull or maybe, yeah, not. We don't know.
It's to convey that there's a secret invasion. Like, that's what it is. We got to see... Personally, I wasn't thrilled with the trailer. It's not a movie. This movie is not one that I'm excited for. And it's kind of like, you know, I like the process with Carol Danvers, you know? I like the Ms. Marvel books. I love the stuff that happened around Ms. Marvel, including the stuff with Rogue and, you know, moving forward, like, with the initiative and all that. Like, we're not going to get any of that stuff that makes Carol Danvers an interesting character to me personally. All we're getting is the stuff that the adaptation of Kelly Sue DeConnick's Captain Marvel book, which is, like, nothing that you really see in the movie anyway. That's why the new book that's come out this weekend is, like, I'm sorry, this Wednesday, is the life of Captain Marvel. Like, they're giving you all this backstory that you've never seen. They just made a new comic showing her doing the shit she's doing in the movie. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, and you know, it's a wire you have to walk when you say you don't like this movie or whatever. As a comic fan, this movie to me is not something that should have been made the way it's doing, the way they're doing it. And honestly, I don't really care about it. And it's not even like, I from the beginning, I said that actress choice is not the right one. You know, she looks too young, like, to be a Air Force captain. Like, that's just the long and short of it. She looks like a fucking kid. Even if she's age appropriate, she looks too fucking young. That's not a good Captain Marvel for me. And then on top of that, it's like, you're doing it in the 90s and all that. That's like, that's fine. But I want to see Ms. Marvel grow. Like, I want to see Carol Danvers grow from, like, you know, there's a part where she was like a villain, kind of, you know? Like, her power was too, like, drove her, like, mad, kind of. So I want to see all that. That's the stuff I like. I like Brian Reed's Ms. Marvel book, you know what I mean? And they're just doing away with all that and just going for the Kelly Sue DeConnick book. And I'm not even saying I'm not a Kelly Sue DeConnick fan. Like, I was a huge fan of her when she went against the Westboro Baptist Church on Twitter that one year of Comic-Con, that every time that every person that goes and protests Comic-Con from the Westboro Church, every time somebody talks to them, she'll donate like $10 or something to like LGBT legislation. That was great. I liked it when she was lettering anime translations for like Viz Media or one of those. She was great. I've been a fan of hers for years. I love Pretty Deadly. I think it's a great comic book. I know that with this Captain Marvel, everybody's really into it because of the whole feminist and women in comics thing. Like, they're thanking her. Like, there's actual accounts on Instagram that are like Captain Marvel appreciation posts and are just like thanking her every like 3 hours for feminism in comics. And it's like, look, I get it. This day and age, you can't get laid if you say you're not a feminist. But really, cut the fucking shit, man. Like, if you're gonna do a character adaptation, like, you gotta do it. You gotta do good by the actor that's playing it. You gotta do good by the story. And, you know, it is MCU, so they're gonna do what they want, and it's fine. But somebody that's been a Ms. Marvel, Carol Danvers, like, fan since he was, like, 7, like, this shit ain't for me. Like, this isn't, like, the Ms. Marvel, Carol Danvers movie I want to see, you know? I want to see what Carol Danvers was like trying to live a life as a normal human, you know? Like, that's what the good, like, Carol Danvers book were like, you know?
Apparently she fell down a lot.
Yeah, that happened.
I mean, that's what I get for the trailer anyway. Whenever they show the before she was Captain Marvel stuff, it's her falling down.
Yeah, look, I didn't. Yeah, you watched it more than I did. The voice you hear is the voice of Oz. Yeah. Clearly he quit his job.
Well, the hamsters are all on the wheel right now, but if one of them goes down, then I might have to cut out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the trailer. She gets her powers from an accident with her and Mar-Vell, right?
Wasn't right.
That? Because they make it seem like she thinks she's from Kree or wherever.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the trailer itself for me felt a little disjointed from her and humanity and everything. And you know, the Mar-Vell story, if, you know, Larry's not here, so I'll do my very, like, best knowing of Marvel impression of Larry. He's kind of condescending about when he knows things, right?
Oh, he's always condescending. So
So Mar-Vell loved humanity. He fell in love with Carol Danvers, and they had an accident together, and she got her powers. That's my best condescending Larry impression.
So the first quarter of the movie should be Mar-Vell is the hero, and then something happens, and now she has to adapt to
girlfriend.
The question is Jude Law even playing Mar-Vell? Because Disney has not said anything about who's he playing.
They don't spend that money on Jude Law if he's not going to be Mar-Vell. What happened in the comics was, it was in, I want to say Captain Marvel comics, but it's not. It probably happens in one of these, like, Journey into Mystery or one of these, like, anthology things. But the Kree-Skrull War is happening, and they're using Earth as a battlefield. He comes to Earth, and he sees sentient life, and he enjoys Earth. And, you know, Rick Jones, which is played by Steve Zahn in the Incredible Hulk movie, actually becomes Captain Marvel, and he does the thing, the whole Captain Marvel thing, that's probably why they're not doing it in this movie. It is kind of like the Shazam thing, where he hits those bands the Mega Bands, and he becomes Captain Mar-Vell, but he's in the human host, you know? And that's the whole trademark thing that we talked about like 4 episodes ago. But yeah, and then after this bomb thing goes off, the genetics get fused, and they share their genetics, and then she becomes empowered, you know?
So she doesn't get amnesia when that happens, though?
She gets amnesia later on, like from another accident thing, but that's because, you know, she was like binary, like as binary she has a different power set, and it's when her brain gets kind of fractured or something. Like there's a lot of shit that happens. I mean, we're talking about 30 years of history that they don't want to cram into this 90s period piece.
What do you think of the way she looks? Because the trailer shows some scenes where you see her in her classic costume, mohawk.
First of all, Tiger Claw, like, thank you for broadcasting. Thank you for making this happen. Like, I love you. But fuck you for not reading comics and calling that her classic
language.
Because that's not her fucking classic costume with the mohawk, all right? That costume, that look is only like 3 years old at most. Her classic costume, if you want to go classic, like now in this new age of MCU, like I can go classic and just say, oh, it's just a black with the lightning bolt and the red sash, like bikini. But if you really want to go classic, like if I'm a 60-year-old dude that read comics, it's like she's got that red and black bikini with the sash, you know, like, so you're like 3 generations when you're saying classic, like you're saying it wrong by 3 generations. So yeah, seeing her in that with the mohawk thing look cool, but that's just, I mean, again, that's just new Marvel shit that I didn't like. Like if you look at Arun Singh, that name doesn't resonate with anybody here because you guys aren't like looking at the credits of your comics, and I'm willing to bet half of you are not reading comics. I'm talking about the listeners, not the people on the line. But it was like this dude that was like an editor decided to like change Captain Marvel's look because his like 4-year-old daughter said, I'm going to cosplay as Ms. Marvel. And it was just a black bikini with a red sash. And she's like, I don't want my daughter dressing like that. So they're like, we need to change Ms. Marvel. And then they covered up her up to fucking talk. And that's how you get that design. It's like they could have just given her a hijab if you're just going to dictate what a woman wears like that. Yeah. But that's that.
Uh-oh, they're coming after you.
Hey, yeah. I got no warrants. I cleared the dog up.
So, I didn't even see the mohawk.
I saw it, and it doesn't, like...
Was it really a mohawk, or was her hair just standing up, and it looked like a mohawk?
No, what it is, it's... She wears a quote-unquote helmet, and when I look at comics, like, everything is skin-tight, everything is form-fitting. Like, that just doesn't look like a helmet. It looks like a mask to me. But I didn't even read those comics like that, so I can't even say it's not a helmet. I know the guy that, Andy Park, is, like, the character designer for the MCU all around, and he was a great Top Cow artist, and now he doesn't work in comics at all. He just draws stuff for MCU, and he loved, like, he was so proud of that helmet looking so clunky, because it's like helmets are so hard to draw to make them look like helmets. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, isn't that just a mask? Like, but I didn't tell him nothing because, you know, he's getting paid. I used to love when he drew the Tomb Raider comics for bless you, dude, for Top Cow. When he drew those Tomb Raider comics, like, those were some clean ass line work, some good inking by Jonathan Siebel. It was good work. So I don't want to talk shit to Andy Park like that. But yeah, he made it look like a helmet. And then, you know, and then he designed for the movie that he saw in the trailer, he was like, he was jizzing all over the place.
So,
go ahead.
I was going to say, what did you think of young Nick Fury and Agent Coulson that you saw in
the trailer? I don't give a shit about any of those. Yeah, I don't give a shit about any of those. Like,
looks like Men in Black.
Yeah, that haircut on, like, I know it's like he's supposed to be younger. It's supposed to be like 1991 or some shit. That haircut on fucking Coulson. Samuel L. Jackson looked terrible.
What about the one on Coulson?
Look, that's all CGI shit. Like, they didn't do nothing. Like, he just looks like a generic ass white guy. Like, they don't even need Coulson like that. Like, it could have just been any other S.H.I.E.L.D. agent that's white. Like, really, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. only has one black dude, and that's Samuel L. Jackson. So that's why you need his young Samuel L. Jackson. But really, like, you don't need Coulson in it.
He's in it either way.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, another reason I didn't give a shit about this movie is because I only care about Avengers 4. I don't want to watch anything until I watch Avengers 4.
I'm looking forward to Avengers 4 after reading stuff about Captain Marvel that kind of makes me want to see it actually happen, which I'm pretty sure will happen. Have you seen the poster for Captain Marvel?
I saw it. It's not anything impressive. It's just generic ass white lady walking through an airplane hangar. Like,
yeah, but that's the
ending of Entourage. Like,
but yeah, but it, yeah, it may look like a normal poster to you, but there is something very peculiar about the poster.
Why do you care about the cat? You don't read the comics.
I first heard about the cat when people were making such a fuss about the cat being on the poster, so I had to look it up to see what all the fuss is about, and after reading about it, it made me a lot more interested.
That's the thing, it's like, and here's the problem I have with this movie, because all these motherfuckers on, you know, my social network of choice is Instagram. There's no politics in it, there's just people appreciating shit, and then stuff I could get angry because they're appreciating the wrong shit, and it's this Captain Marvel is just making people, like, all of a sudden everybody's a Carol Danvers fan, when it's like, you watch Supergirl and nobody's like, what the fuck, this bitch is called Carol Danvers? Like, you got Miss Marvel in Supergirl? Like, nobody ever made that correlation, and nobody's still not gonna make that correlation because they're a bunch of fucking idiots. You know?
Yeah, I've said this with other movies. So all of a sudden, everybody's an expert. All of a sudden, everybody's cosplaying that. And it's all Wikipedia knowledge, too. Like, I'm seeing these are the Easter eggs you missed in this. And some of the people that do that kind of stuff, I know for a fact, have never read a goddamn book in their life.
Right. And then over here right now, like, you know, Tiger Claw, all of a sudden, makes a fake Facebook post. Like, oh, there's a cat. Like, here's the actual issue where the cat came out. What are the chances that this scene will happen in Avengers 4? And it's like, what are the chances that you're going to read the actual comic? And Tiger Claw, look, you tell me what was your answer when I asked you that.
Because I could just look it up.
Exactly. So what the fuck, like, why is even Marvel making comics still? Like, they have no reason to make comics. Like, they're making so much money for things that aren't comics. It's like, what's the fucking point?
I don't know.
The whole thing just bummed me out and angered me. And it's like, you know, I know I've been trying to be zen and shit, and it's like, you know, the only thing I allowed myself. I told you this episode, you got to listen a little more, because, you know, this, you know, my whole life I lived day by day trying to not get aggravated, trying to just be cool, be zen, let the universe take me where it's going to take me. But with comics, I can't do that shit. This shit is like, really, like, you give a fuck about a fucking cat you never even heard of until 5 minutes before you posted it, and then I ask you, like, why do you want it? Why don't you just read the comic? It's there. And you're like, I don't need to. And it's like, what's the fucking point?
I went to this one website I cannot mention, and I looked at some comic book pages that actually featured this creature. They call it the Flurkin. So I was browsing through it to see what all the fuss is about, and I was pretty amused by it, and it made me a lot more interested on Captain Marvel, because it made me a lot more interested on Captain Marvel because, you know, I like all the weird stuff that happened in comic, not just the grounded stuff, but I like when things get weird. To me, that's when it gets more interesting.
Well, guess what, it got weird in the comic, and more often than not it's going to be more interesting and more weird in the comic, because it's not made for the mass media. Dumbass media. Operative word, dumbass. You should read the fucking comic, Tiger Claw. This is the one time I ever force you to read a fucking comic. Go back and read that fucking comic and give me a review next week.
I'm surprised nobody is...
Thank you for broadcasting.
I'm surprised nobody is trying to say that now that Captain Marvel is coming out, that this is how they're going to get X-Men into the MCU because of how Rogue's related to Captain Marvel.
It doesn't matter. Like, the people making it don't even know Rogue's related to Captain Marvel, and there's too much years of history that they're really breezing by the whole... The point where she becomes Captain Marvel in the 90s... like that. The shit that happened with Rogue happened, like, at that same time. Like, maybe, like, you know, she was in the coma for, like, 10 years. So that's the whole... If anything, that's how they could work the amnesia thing, you know? But they're not going to do that, yeah?
Is it possible, you know, since she's been around since the 90s, is it possible that that whole DNA fusion thing that happened with 70. Her... Yeah, is it possible that that whole thing with her DNA being fused with Kree, could it have caused some sort of effect on her aging process? Like, she ages slowly or something? I don't know how long Kree lived.
Look, if you want to read the life of Captain Marvel. That's the comic that's out right now that's explaining everything in the movie so they don't have to retcon... Well, so they could retcon the comic without having to, like, redo everything. Like, they're giving you the life of Captain Marvel. They erase everything that ever happened with her that was of any substance, of any fucking grit, of any fucking value that made her just a strong female character without having to measure her strength against male characters. All her strength came from the character who she was, living her daily life on Earth, dealing with Earthlings on a daily fucking basis, and being a fucking superhero by the time where she found spare time.
Do they have a Cliff
Notes version of that? Tire Claw is asking...
One at a time.
It's funny because Tire Claw is asking questions about the movie and Mo's answering about the comics.
That's the thing. It's like the shit he asked about the movie is explained in the comics, but they're just breezing by everything. They're ignoring all of that. And then in the comics, they made literally, this comic came out this week, if not last week, The Life of Captain Marvel, which is explaining all this shit that she did in space that she does in this fucking movie that, like, ignores all the shit that happened fucking during Civil War.
Like, this movie ignores all the shit that happens in the movie, in the MCU movies themselves.
I'm not even going to say it like that because it is just a trailer. Like, I haven't seen the movie.
No, look. Thor coming to Earth was the first time that S.H.I.E.L.D. had to deal with aliens, according to the first Avengers movie. But now you have Coulson and Sam Jackson running around with Kree?
Hey.
Holding giant space guns?
They could just be life model decoys. But, you know, Larry's not here, so he can't school you on
or
that.
Somebody
Joe can.
Life model
or
decoys.
Somebody with S.H.I.E.L.D.
I don't want to even get into it. Look, are we done talking Captain Marvel? Like, final thoughts on Captain Marvel trailer.
Did Joe say anything about it?
Yeah, I said I liked the Earth part. Part on Earth looks really good. Like, I like the aesthetic.
I like that it's set in the 90s because there's nothing more 90s than a blockbuster video. But all in all...
But that's unnecessary. Like, it's really unnecessary.
The whole blockbuster video? I don't know. I used to work
there. Yeah, it's unnecessary. I bet you did. But it's unnecessary. Like, having that in the movie to prove it's the 90s is unnecessary. Like...
I would say EB Games is more 90s than Blockbuster.
Look, a fucking comic book store would be more 90s to show in the fucking trailer. Show old classic Golden Apple comics. Like, if you really give a shit about superheroes and comics. But no, they'll do about something that doesn't even exist. You got like one or two left in the store, in the fucking country.
Like, she should have crashed into like Comic-Con, but back when there was only like two tables.
Right.
And then you have Stan Lee right there. You can de-ageify him too.
Look, if you want to give me 90s nostalgia, like, have her crash into fucking the Shrine Expo or original Comic-Con. Yeah, like, don't give me
just early enough that people just look at her like, "The hell are you doing?"
I'm way too aggravated by this segment. Ugh.
Then you have some young kid thinking, "Oh, she's costume playing." Oh, and then in the future, that person is like half naked on Instagram. It'd be awesome.
Well, anyway, I'm looking forward to the movie because I have a little bit of nostalgia for the 90s because that was a good era. Movies, music, video game, and comics.
What was your favorite? Well, all right, look, okay.
Now he's going to say Ninja Turtle.
Okay, what's your favorite comic from the 90s, Iron Claw?
Oscar already mentioned it.
Okay, what's your favorite movie from the 90s?
Same answer.
Ooh, favorite movie of the 90s, there have been a couple of them. There was the three Ninja Turtle movies that came out. There was Terminator 2. Terminator 2 was another one. I can't remember. I mean, there were.
What was your favorite music from the 90s?
My favorite music from the 90s.
Vanilla Ice.
The 90s was when I discovered house music and techno, pretty much.
So what's your favorite song? Like techno,
house music?
I don't
know. There's so many, because back in the 90s, when I was hearing that music, I didn't even know what the name of the track is called, because the radios, they play the song.
He was on drugs.
The radios, they play the music, but they never say the name of the track playing.
I know which one. It's the one that goes doom 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 doom.
If we had Shazam back in the 90s, I would probably
we did have Shazam. They called him Captain Marvel.
No, I mean the app. But yeah, you know, and
then, and what was your favorite video game from the 90s?
I mean, the 90s for me was a pinnacle of video games, because that's
Ninja
when
Turtles,
we had
the arcade game.
Well, we had arcade games, we had NES, we had Super Nintendo, Genesis.
Well,
we had,
what was your favorite game? Like, what was it? Like,
let me see, the Super Mario Brothers games that came out, all three of them, they were good. The three or four TMNT games that came out on the NES, for NES, those were good. There's a lot of games. I can't name them all. What about
so you're all in on Captain Marvel based on all that?
Well, I'm not all in on Captain Marvel just because it's set in the 90s. I was all in on Captain Marvel since they announced. I just think setting it in the 90s would be kind of an interesting, was a pretty cool time for a lot of people who grew up during that era, because there's going to be so much, so much 90s references in this movie. Not just because, not because Captain Marvel just happened to be in it, but you have Captain Marvel, but then you have all the 90s references being thrown out on there. So you're going to be able to catch the little things, the little, nuances of the 90s.
Look, this 90s question really got chat going off. For those of you who didn't hear me talk about our Discord chat channel, we have one, so you can chime in with that. But let's see here. Shadow Next Gen says, one of the games playable now with Nintendo's online service is Pro Wrestling. My favorite comic was Spawn from the 90s, which is heck. Favorite comic, Spawn. Favorite music was whatever was on The Box, which was some kind of showcase or something.
The Box was a channel. It was basically a video jukebox. You would call in, request a song, and then it would play in order of, they would play in order of whoever called in.
Okay. That was on cable?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was amazing until it got popular. Then they started running shows every three songs, and it just went downhill from there.
Big Man says a favorite 90s movie was T2 and Armageddon. Heck said favorite game was WCW versus NWO World Tour. That was a good game. Big Man says favorite comic was X Factor and Deadpool. Heck says I didn't know Deadpool till maybe 06. But yeah. All right, let's get out of that and talk to about a bit of a darker subject. Joe, you got to see Predator, the remake.
Yeah. Is it a remake?
It's not really a remake. It's more of a sequel, and it's a sequel to the last two Predator movies. The first two.
They've been calling it like a reboot, like remake reboot.
No, it's more. Yeah, I don't know. It's more of a sequel to Predator 2 than any of the other movies, because it does make references to the first two movies.
Okay,
but yeah, I got to see it. I saw it earlier before. Like, I didn't see the official release. I saw a pre-release of it from a screening. So I don't know if anything's or how much has changed between when I saw it and now. I mean, obviously, yeah, they put in all the special effects, which weren't done yet. But,
did you get to see the actual Predator?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about, right? The sexual Predator.
The what?
So, like, Olivia Munn went nuts. Well, that's the chauvinist in me. Olivia Munn found out that one of her co-stars in one of the scenes was a sexual predator, and she demanded that the scene be cut out, and she was like angry that they made her work with somebody like that without the proper background check and everything. Like, they didn't ask her if she was comfortable working with somebody like that. But it turns out that sexual predator was a friend of the director's, and the director knew about it. He put him in like three different movies, but then they cut out the scene with the sexual predator. So now the movie just has just regular predator.
Oh, I might have then. Like, okay. If that was one of the reshoots.
Yeah. So what you saw was before all the reshoots?
The scene in question is basically her talking to this guy while they were dog walking. The guy was a jogger, and the jogger was coming onto her. Which is kind of odd.
I can see why she was put off by it. Yeah. I can see why she was put off by it.
Yeah.
Did you get to see that scene, Joe?
It doesn't sound familiar. I mean, it might have just not been that important of a scene. I mean, it sounds familiar. I don't recall it specifically, though.
Right.
Yeah.
But what was your impression of the movie? Like,
I thought it was really good. It was interesting. Like, I noticed a few continuity errors, but, you know, it's bound to happen. But other than that, like, I thought it was fun. A super fun movie, cool characters.
Does the opening of the version that you saw, does it open the same way? Because I don't know, should we get into spoilers here?
Yeah, go for it.
Since I saw it in the theater, the movie opens with a space battle. There's two predator ships. One is trying to escape the other one, and then it crash lands on Earth. Does the version you saw open with that scene?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Yeah, that was there was one other thing I just remembered that I didn't like about it, is that, and this is just a Hollywood trend of, you know, make it bigger and better. They do that with the main predator bad guy, and it's completely unnecessary. But other than that, it was pretty good.
One thing to know about this about the movie is that there were two predators. There was the regular one, and then there was the super predator, the gigantic one. And the reason for that, as we get into spoilers, is that the regular predator was trying to escape the other one, because the other one became the regular predator became rogue, and it was trying to escape and give Earth was sending to Earth a gift that they needed to fend off an invasion of predators foreseeable future. So the super predator shows up going after the main predator because for those reasons, because it was trying to warn humanity of impending invasion of predators. So the super predator comes and kills off the main predator. Does that happen in your version of the movie?
I don't think it does.
I think a lot of those details weren't in.
I feel like.
I do know that the.
I
do know that the first predator came to Earth, but it wasn't there for, you know, hunting and all stuff. It was there because it was trying to deliver a package of some sort to humanity.
Yeah, I don't think there was a package delivery in the version I saw.
We find out about that at the end of it. Anyways, the super predator comes and kills off the rogue predator, and you see all these other people there trying to kill it and stuff. And there's these dog predators now. They kind of act like regular dogs, but a lot meaner. Were those in your version?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was interesting.
By interesting, do you mean like dumb?
No, I don't mean dumb. I just mean unnecessary. It's like, yes, the predators did have domesticated animals. Why would they bring them? Like, the predators hunt. That's what they do. They come, they hunt. They don't send their dogs out to do their work for them. They hunt. They're actual hunters, for the most part. I mean, towards the end, they started to get a little killy as opposed to hunty. But for the most part, in general, they are hunters.
At one point during the movie, one of the predator dogs suddenly, it turned domesticated and started acting friendly again with the human, acting like a regular dog.
Right, it had severe brain damage.
Yeah, it was shot in the head, and for some reason, it just kind of started acting like a normal dog.
Now, I did like that character. The character that shot the dog in the head, I thought he was funny. Like, his whole thing is that he sucks at shooting things in the head. Like, he tried to commit suicide by shooting himself in the head and missed.
A, That's the dude with the, I think it was the dude with the cigar or cigarette, the black dude, the one that was friending. He was the one that was hanging with what's his name, the main character.
Yeah, he's the one that shot the dog.
Yeah, I like all the other characters. I like I don't know what's the, I forgot his name, but the bald dude. I know Thomas Jane is one of the characters. He was paired with this other guy most of the time. I forgot his name. He's a comedian.
Dave Chappelle.
Name is Keegan Michael Key.
I like him. He's pretty funny.
Not enough to remember his name, huh?
I mean, isn't there two of them with similar last name?
No,
there isn't.
Yeah, I get. But anyways, he was one of the characters I like the movie. There was also Thomas Jane, who's also good in that. There in the movie, there's this kid in Spectrum, and somehow figured out how to translate Predator's language.
They gave him the best line in the movie, by the way.
What was it?
Where basically the military guy he takes him and he's trying to get him to open the Predator door to the ship. He's like, he's basically trying to use reverse psychology. He's like, you know, I want you to do it, but I don't think you can. And the kid is like, that's reverse psychology. I can do that too. Don't go fuck yourself.
Maybe I'll go see this.
I just thought
that line was hilarious. I was rolling.
Another thing about these predators is they're getting DNA and then splicing them to themselves. Like I think their whole purpose was to get DNA from different species so that they become stronger or more powerful.
That's kind of what makes this movie a remake.
So it's not just about, it's not just about hunting, you know, it's not just about them hunting for sport, but they're actually collecting DNA.
Yeah, that's dumb.
It is. Like, that's not what the Yautja are. Like, that's not what they do. Like,
yeah, but other than that, it's a good movie. Weird because Predators is something that I'm somewhat familiar with.
Right.
You know, I read a fair amount of the novels. Especially AVP, I was really into that. And Aliens versus Predator, the books and the comics, they actually really delve into like their society of the predators. And so, you know, that's just one thing that's really stuck with me. It's one thing that I just really, it's how I think of them. And so, you know, you have this thing where like they're just hunters from a hunting society where might makes right. And going around and collecting DNA to make yourself stronger is just kind of, it's kind of wrong.
Well, it goes against the might makes right thing. Like, anything you hunt is inferior to you, so why would you want to take it, like, into yourself?
Right. So
at least that's how they see it.
And I mean, they do, like, hunt in packs when something is strong enough. Like, I think they normally try to have, like, a 6-to-8-man team when hunting a queen alien. But it's like, they're not going to take the alien DNA, or hard meat, they call them, and, like, take that DNA and put it in them to make themselves stronger.
That did kind of happen in one of the Alien vs. Predator
movies. No, but not with that, like, intention.
I don't know if it happened that way or not, but the whole Pred-Alien thing?
No, I'm telling you, like, it wasn't an intentional thing.
That wasn't a Predator splicing, that was the alien.
Yeah, breeding,
And they'll breed, like, the facehuggers, they'll go on anything. Like, they'll implant anything.
Anything with a face.
Because that's the way they work. Yeah. So, yeah, if it meets a predator, that's what it's going to impregnate.
Now, another thing is, as to how they got their name, the Predator, what do you think of the whole, you know, because there's that whole funny scene when they're in the lab and they were examining the Predator that they caught, and then they were arguing over the name. Like, they were calling it Predator, and
Leonardo's character
saying that they're hunters, but then they say, oh, they just call him Predator because it sounds cooler.
That was pretty funny. Yeah. That was a pretty funny scene.
Yeah.
All in all, though, how many, like, trophy, like, scars do you give it out of 5?
You know, based on what I saw, and like I said, I saw, like, a pre-copy, so I don't know what's different, and mine didn't have the effects in, which honestly was, like, super interesting.
I'm curious, what ending did you saw?
See.
The ending was... they killed it.
Yeah, but I mean, there was
multiple versions of this movie or what? Because the way you two keep talking about it, it's like two different movies.
I heard that they reshot the ending. They reshot the whole last sequence.
Right, but they would have put out the same movie just because they reshot it.
No, but they had to do a lot of reshoots because of the sexual predator.
No, it wasn't because of that.
I think after the reshoots, whatever movie they put out, that I don't think Tyre Claw saw a different movie than Jay, but he's asking him questions like maybe it was two different movies.
Yeah, because the ending of the movie that I saw, okay, spoiler alert, after they killed the super predator and they recovered the cargo that previous predator left behind, they were able to decipher it, and it opens up, and inside this cargo was this it looks like a gauntlet. One of the scientists puts it on, and all of a sudden the gauntlet forms a some sort of armor around the body that looks very predator-like, kind of Iron Man-esque but predator style, and they were calling it the Predator Killer. And the reason why the first predator sent that to Earth is because whoever uses that armor will be able to fend off any incoming predators that come to Earth.
But that's the ending of the movie that you saw, right, Tyre Claw? So yeah. If I go to the theaters tomorrow, that might not be the end of the movie that I might see, right? Is that what you're saying now?
No, it is the ending of the movie that I saw. It's the ending of the movie that everyone has. The version that Joe has seen was probably a version that was before they did all the reshoot. Because I have heard things about...
Joe, did you get a special copy of this movie?
I didn't get a special copy. I went to a screening.
Did they? The screen that you went to, it was probably one of those test screenings. Did they made you sign an NDA or something?
Yeah, that's why I couldn't talk about it before the movie came out.
Oh, okay. Now that you can, you tell us about all the different stuff that happened. Because there was so much stuff that they had to cut. Like, I heard that Edward James Olmos was in the movie originally, but they cut out all his scene too.
Is he the sexual predator?
No.
There are parts of the movie that would have changed.
You know, Hispanics don't do that shit.
I heard that there were parts of it that would have changed the way the flowed if Edward James Olmos was his character was in it. So they cut a lot of stuff. I hope that they put all that stuff on the Blu-ray.
Why? Like, they cut it out for a reason. Like, it doesn't work.
That's what I mean. You know, put those as deleted scenes.
Nah, like, you don't need to see those if they don't work. Like, if they're not, basically anything you need to see is in the movie. If it's not in the movie, you don't need to see it.
Unless
that's not always true. Like, I've seen some movies that had deleted scenes where the scene was, like, actually pretty important. Like, Good Neighbors. The deleted scene from that is super important. Like, I don't know why they deleted it, but the movie is less of a movie for it.
Did anybody else see that
movie? No.
The one Joe's talking about or Predator?
No, one Joe's talking about.
No, I saw Daredevil, though. You throw the cutout scenes back in, and it's a totally different
movie. But it's not in, so it's not a different movie. Like, that's the thing. If it was in the movie,
right? But
like,
they did put out.
But that's the thing. If it's in the movie, that's what you have to see.
Right. So they put out a director's cut where they put those scenes back in, which is what Tyre Claw's asking for.
Director's cut is not the one that's making the money.
I don't think either cut's making the money out of that movie.
Yeah, duh.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, anything you cut out, it's cut out. Like, it's not, like, even, like, I always snicker when they call something a director's cut. It's like, no, like, the director, like, directed the movie that you saw in the theater. Like, the director's cut is just something to get you more money.
Sometimes the studio kind of interferes and they do a cut of the movie without director's consent sometimes.
I don't, that's the movie they wanted you to, like, I have yet to see a movie that the director's cut is, like, what I wanted to see in the theater. Like,
wait till the Snyder Cut comes out. Telling you.
That's just like Bill O'Reilly's evidence that he's innocent. It's never coming out. Or OJ finding the killer. You know, like, that's never going to happen.
OJ already admitted to that shit.
No, he admitted if he had done it. Again, it's all hypothetical. Like, there's no point in relying on deleted, like, cutout scenes. Like, there's no point. Like, it's not canon. That, you know, in comic book terms, if it's a deleted scene, it's not canon. That's alternate universe shit.
I mean, alternate universe stuff isn't always bad.
But it's not canon. That's not what it is.
Comics have been not canon from one book to the next.
Look, that's the bullshit you read on DC. next segment, who got to use the DC Comics, DC Universe app? I keep calling it DC Comics. That's because there are comics on it. But yeah. Any of you got to use it? $75 for the whole year? Anybody jump on at the beginning when there's nothing on?
No, I forgot until you mentioned it. And then when you did mention it, I checked my PS4 and it wasn't there. So I haven't tried it yet.
I jumped on and looked around on my phone, but I didn't actually open anything up or anything because it was like same thing. It wasn't until you mentioned it. I thought it wasn't going to be out until October.
Well, the last show we did, we talked about it being on Batman Day, which is September 15th.
Yeah, but that was like 2 months ago. So
and then
like
over the weekend, I asked on the pre-production thread if anybody got to use it, and nobody answered.
I didn't see the thread.
I didn't see that either.
I can confirm that the app is available because my Android TV box also got it.
But we know it's available. We don't know if it's available on PS4.
Hey, Joe, on PS4, have you tried going through a browser? Because you can get into it from a browser.
Yeah, from the browser.
No, I haven't tried that. I will try that probably after the show because my internet is sketch.
I was expecting you to do it right now. But it's good that you're waiting for after the show. Thank you. It's always hard when I host, so thank you.
If I pop out, then just know that was DC.
I'll label it pre-production. It's not an error or neglect. It's pre-production. I actually tried the app. It came out Saturday, September 15th. Sorry, which is also Mexican Independence Day. That's not really independence, but yeah. The app has old episodes of Superboy, Superman the Animated Series. It has a bunch of movies that like you'd have to buy on Amazon Prime to watch right now, or like iTunes movies. So I was able to actually watch Gotham by Gaslight.
Oh, what did you think of it?
I actually liked it a lot. They call that the first Elseworlds story, which I kind of I take issue with it. That's how they label it, but that's fine. The thing is, it's definitely the first like Elseworlds animated story that they do, and I really enjoyed it. Like the animation at the beginning was kind of choppy, like the frame rate was off, and that's usually the case with these DC movies, unless they like actually put money into it, like that Batman like Japanese anime one with Ninja or something,
which is also on the app.
Yeah, but that one even that one had its issues because you know it was made by Madhouse. But it was still, like, it's not up to par with Madhouse standards from 1999. But, you know, it's okay. But Gotham by Gaslight, like, the story itself is good because, you know, it's based on the comic from back in the day. My boy, Brian Augustine, and that dude wrote the original comic. Like, that dude wrote Crimson is a comic that we've been talking about here on Fantastic Forum since, like, 2006. The greatest teen melodrama vampire story ever until Twilight came out and then blew up Comic-Con, but Crimson was doing it like a decade before. Plus it had like archaic mythology and Gnosticism, and it really researched into like mythology and shit around vampires and Christianity and all that. But look, I digest. I don't want to talk about that here yet. But yeah, Gotham by Gaslight, it was definitely an adaptation. It was a little different, little watered down for like an hour animated feature. But overall, it was good. And I'm actually, you know, halfway through it, even less than halfway through it, probably 15 minutes in, I was like, you know what, this shit, I'm glad they copped out on the animation and it looked choppy, because the action scenes were like fully animated and they were tight. Like you can see the actual like fighting styles of the action sequences, you know, like it was broad. Like, you know, Batman thought Jack the Ripper was like an untrained fighter, so he's just going at him full force, and then he surprises him by being like a trained fighter, and he's like, oh shit, you know, like, and that action scene, like you actually see Batman kind of modifying his fighting style with Jack the Ripper once he mid-fight found out that he's a trained fighter. And that was tight. Like, that takes money, that takes resources, so I can see why the beginning of it was a little choppy and frame rate issue-y, which is some, you know, it's something people don't even recognize. Like, nobody sees that aspect of the animation, they just enjoy the ride. But I can't do that because I'm a comic book journalist here on allgames.com. But and then on top of that, like about 20 minutes in, I started realizing the music in it is really good. The score for Gotham by Gaslight is fucking tight. Like,
language.
the music is just good. Like they put money into the score, which I like, because to me the score makes part of it, plays a big part into the enjoyment of something, whether it's, you know, if it's something I go see, like an event, and the music they play and the ambience, like, it could make or break an event for me. So seeing how much attention to music they put here, like, it's like, this is one of the best DC animated features all around. And the story itself was good. Like, babe, do you have anything to say about Gotham by Gaslight? You got to watch it with me. And she's not listening. But
that's a lot of hype for a Disney animated movie.
It's not Disney. Oh, it's DC.
I said DC animated movie. I mean, that's a lot of hype praise for it.
Yeah. I mean, usually I don't do those with these because they are watered down versions of the original source material. But it this one was enjoyable. You know, I like the Robins, I like Catwoman. It was all good. I do want them to make, though, now seeing how this one turned out, a Elseworlds book called The Doom That Came to Gotham, which is like a H.P. Lovecraft horror story set in Gotham, kind of like The Doom That Came to, you know, The Doom That Came to Innsmouth, and, you know, Dagon, all these H.P. Lovecraft horror stories with Cthulhu and shit, you know? Like, but it's Batman dealing with that type of cult killing, ritual killings, so I want to see him do that. So, Emily says she liked it a lot. She's actually listening to the stream and there's a delay. But yeah, so that was that. I one of the things with the DC app was that, you know, I've been watching Justice League Unlimited and stuff on other apps like Netflix and Amazon Prime. So the first thing I did when I checked the DC Universe app is go back to the other apps and see, it's like, okay, I better not see this shit on other apps. I didn't check CW Seed, so they might still have Birds of Prey, they might still have Constantine, but if any of these free fucking apps have it, like, I'm not renewing my fucking membership to it, because it is $75 a year. That's $75 that I can get towards a new tattoo. So if anything I see on that app I can get for free anywhere else, even if it's a crappy ass show like Birds of Prey or Superboy from 1990 or Lois and Clark, like, nah, like, anything you get. Yeah, but the thing is, if I'm paying $75 a year to the DC Universe app, I don't want to see that shit anywhere else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like any other app that gives me like a 3-month trial and then $7.99 a month, and then they just slowly like siphon money from me because I'm enjoying the stuff I'm watching. They didn't do it like that. They said, if you sign up now, it's going to be $75 and you'll get 3 extra months. But then after that, it's going to be $75 a year, which, I mean, it works out to a good price. Like, it's still, what, 75 divided by 52? Sorry, I'm going 52 because it's DC. Divided by 12 is, what, like, about $7.50 a month, something like that. It's not a lot, but if I could get half of their shit for free, what's the fucking point, right? Language. Now, they do have original content coming. I didn't see any, like, not even trailers or nothing on that app, which is, if you're going to promote that shit, like, they released a scene for the new Teen Titans. It's not on the fucking app. Like, if it's not on, like, I'm paying you money, like, you're supposed to tease me with this shit to keep me wanting to pay more. Like, why do you release it on other, like, mediums and other forums? Like, what's the fucking point? Like, have the buzz. Oz, you don't have a buzz sound on your soundboard, right?
A what sound?
Buzz, like bees buzzing?
No.
Look, find one real quick.
Dude, I'm not even home.
Language.
Right. Yeah, you need Tire Claw to get on that today.
All right, well, the point is, if you're going to buzz, if you're going to have buzz around your app, like, release the teasers for everything you're going to be doing, especially on the launch of the app. Like, they could have teased Swamp Thing, they could have teased everything, and then have all the news outlets say, instead of having an embedded video from a fucking press release, and they just copy and paste it on their fucking site, like,
language,
they could have just had it and said, look, these are the pictures we captured from the DC app that launched here. Like, pump the promotion to the app. Like, that's marketing 101. Now, Larry is not here to verify, but about 3 or 4 years ago, he actually forwarded me a job solicitation for somebody to work as a marketing guy for DC. And that's what I could have contributed had I not decided to pursue a career in barbershop entrepreneurialism. But that, literally, the guy they got is fucking dumb, because really, like, anything you're gonna any buzz that you could have had right now for all your shows coming could have been been within the app and it would have promoted the app, and that's going to be your outlet anyway, you know? Like, why give it out? Why give out the video clips like that? I don't know. It seems dumb to me. And it's the whole thing. Well, look, I don't want to get into all games as marketing, but that's the whole thing. It's like you have your outlet. Focus on your outlet. Don't cast a wide net. Draw the flies, you know? But that's my criticism of this app. The reading comics on it was hard on the TV because the TV's a little far. My TV's kind of big, but the comics don't get formatted for the TV. They're on guided view. And then when you, on the phone, you can take away guided view. On the TV, I didn't find how to take guided view. I'm sure you could take guided view away, but it's not fun reading those comics on the TV. On the phone, it's fine. Like, I just take guided view away. I have a big enough phone where a page on my screen, like, is easy to read right now. I haven't gotten that old yet, so reading the comics on there, the selection of comics is okay. They got a lot of, the comics they offer you right now at the beginning is not, there's not a big list. They, it's basically the stuff based on the stuff they're going to be putting out, like Teen Titans, Doom Patrol, and, which is cool, because it's like, nobody really read Doom Patrol. Nobody knows what Doom Patrol is. There's a lot of Instagram appreciation accounts for Doom Patrol, but nobody gives a shit about Doom Patrol, really. Like, language. That's why they're, that's that looks, we're not a censored show. Like, why do you keep playing that?
Well, sometimes we are. It depends on who's listening.
But it you know, it's funny once or twice, but not every time I cuss.
Look, that's not me pushing that button.
It's not?
No, that's Tiger Claw. I told you.
Oh,
I'm Tiger Claw driving, like, right now.
Yeah, I figured, I thought you were driving, but Tiger Claw, don't press that button.
Language.
Okay, that time was funny.
That better be the last.
So, quick update. I cannot use the app through my browser, and
did you sign in properly?
Yeah, like I signed in, but it won't let me play a video. My browser can't handle it.
On your PS4 or on?
On the PS4.
Okay. PS4 always had a shitty browser.
Yeah, that's true. But as for other sites having DC stuff, Amazon Prime still has Batman and Harley Quinn and Batman versus Two-Face.
But are they free?
And Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders.
Are they free or do they charge? I don't think I saw Batman and Harley on the DC app.
No, that's part of the Prime like deal. Yeah,
Prime.
Yeah, it's part of the Prime deal. Like, it's a contract deal. Like, until the contract runs out, then that's it. But quite frankly, Batman and Harley Quinn is a piece of shit. I'm glad DC doesn't have it. Like, they should just sell it to Disney.
I like it.
I liked it.
Yeah, well, because you guys like forced R ratings. Like, it doesn't need to be R rating. That shit could have been PG. It's still, it would have been better.
It's not R rating.
Had a cool musical number in it. That was cool.
I hated that musical number.
Why does it? Why is it? Why is it R rated? What does it have?
What is it rated?
PG-13.
It has like F bombs and a sex scene and.
Yeah, that's all PG-13.
Yeah, it all seems forced and unnecessary. Like, and I hate how they try to make it feel like the animated series and then throw that in it. Like, it's totally unnecessary and it's not funny. It's not fun. Like, I don't like it.
That's the thing about the streaming service, because they could, you know, because they're uncensored, they could do whatever they want with it, so they could be R-rated or not, and there's no consequence.
Well, you know, Harley Quinn's a killer. Like, if you're gonna go uncensored, unrated, like, have her kill interestingly. They don't
Suicide Squad is rated R, and she kills in that.
I haven't seen that yet, but
she also bones in that.
Yeah, I guess the what I hated the most about it was how it tried to feel like the animated series.
Well, it's part of it. Like, it's canon with the animated series.
Not my canon.
Is Bruce Timm involved in it?
Like, he's a producer or something. Like,
I just didn't like that. I don't picture Harley Quinn beating Nightwing in one-on-one combat.
You know who did do a good Harley Quinn, though? It played off the sexiness and the, like, flirtatiousness, and it did it really well, was the Telltale series, the season 2.
I enjoyed that a lot.
You went through it already, all of it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I only finished chapter 2, but I really liked how they did Harley Quinn, the whole, like, the Joker-Harley Quinn dynamic. Like, because they, you know, the Telltale series is a reimagining, so they did something that works that's still a little different, but not that different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Did they do the comic book costume, the classic costume, or Suicide Squad Harley?
Nah, they did something totally different where she's more like a kind of like a punk rocker. So she's wearing leather. She's not showing a lot of skin, but she's like dressed sexily. Like she has sex appeal, but not. She's not trashy.
So less trashy Suicide Squad.
No, not even Suicide Squad, because she's also like her personality, the way they did her personality, like she's more in control. She's a boss. And Joker's working for her.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like canon.
Tight. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a totally different. It's like an Elseworlds, but they did it in a really good way. Like,
not playing it.
Good. I don't need you clogging up my bandwidth.
You already said you weren't gonna play it though, because you don't like Telltale.
Right. Well, I'm just reiterating.
So yeah, that's my review of the DC Comics app. We'll see. I don't know when they plan on giving new like content. They have some of those shows, but you know me and those shows, like those like podcast shows, like Talking Dead and shit. Like, I'm not for those.
When are the TV shows supposed to pop on there?
I think sometime in October, but we'll see. Like, they all have different dates, you know? Like, I guess the Young Justice is the one that should be coming up the fastest. Like, the
Young Justice, the animated one, right? Right.
And then Teen Titans. Which looks terrible, but that's just like, yeah, it looks terrible just in terms of like aesthetics and stuff. Not even quality. Like quality might look okay.
Well, they have Grayson and Jason Todd in the Robin outfit at the same time.
I don't care about that. Like that doesn't make it good or bad for me. Like it's just that Starfire looks terrible. Like all the other people look terrible.
Yeah, they told us that once they add the effects to Starfire, she's gonna look amazing.
But she did.
She still looks like that picture we made fun of months ago.
A year ago.
Like, but like her hair's like extra crispy now. Like it's got smoke coming out of it or something.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm more worried about the Swamp Thing show because it's you know it's a property from DC that I actually like and care about. Teen Titans, like, I hope they do it good just for, like, as a comic fan's, like, perspective. Like, I want them to do it good, but they're probably not. But yeah. So that's all I got to say about the DC Universe app. They should have a trial, like a 7-day trial or something. I should have gotten a code, like a referral code as pre-production, but I'll have one next week, hopefully, if you want to get it, wait till next week. I'll have a referral code. Maybe I'll get an extra month out of it or something. But, yeah, next big thing out is the Spider-Man game. Like, who played that? I didn't play it, but I want to hear from the people that did. How do you like it?
It's fun.
Did you get the glitch where everything freezes?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't get glitches, per se.
I saw, because I watched a lot of videos of it, and one of the things was in photo mode, too, like, their face stopped being polygonal and was just, like, just this flat surface on, like, enemies.
Oh, yeah. I don't really mess around with that.
Yeah, I was hoping that it wasn't widespread, like, menace that people were dealing with.
That's the one where the enemies' faces turn into triangles and then the faces, like, smushed on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a picture of that. That didn't happen to me, though.
Okay.
Yeah, no, you should get on this Spider-Man game, man. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. I even had fun.
Yeah, I like the story.
I even have fun collecting, like, bullshit stuff. Like, oh, get the backpacks to unlock this. And I usually give up on those, like, halfway through because there's so many of them. But I got through all of them in this game.
Did you get all the hidden photo ops?
No, because there wasn't any reward associated with them. Yeah, I was just trying to unlock the suit.
Yeah, once you get those satellites. Once you get those antennas, then you'll be able to find everything.
What's the suit for the hidden photo?
It's the ESU costume. So it's basically the Spider-Man with the Empire State University sweatshirt.
Yeah, but there's some better suits.
Once I unlocked the Last Stand suit, I was done, really. Like, the rest I just did to do, but the Last Stand one, man, I need to get me that jacket.
I played the game mostly using the Iron Spider suit, and I think one of the more stealth suits, I forgot what it was called, but that was more metallic. That was pretty cool. But anyways, in the game, you don't really have to put the suit on to get that suit's power. You can just mix and match all the suit powers to any suit that you want to wear.
Right. I wasn't wearing that. Look, I never even changed the suit power because I like the standard one. I just really like that Last Stand outfit because it's basically just a Spider-Man in a jacket and jeans.
Yeah. Did you try? Right. I haven't tried the Spider-Man punks, but I am.
Does that one have any power perk?
Yeah.
He plays his guitar and like the sound waves like hit the enemies around you, like push them away.
I use most spider drone from the Starks because that just zaps all the enemies around you. It just electrocutes all of them and be able to attack all of them by one while they're electric.
Nah, I never switched out any of the suit abilities because that was stupid. I was fine with just the standard thing that's technically not even really a power.
I love doing all the stealth takedowns, but I hate it when there's some of these missions that it lets you do stealth takedowns, but then after took down a couple of enemies, you have to go out there and fight them face to face. It's like five waves of enemies coming at you. You gotta like.
Did you all beat it? Like all of you guys played through it?
Yeah, I beat the main storyline already. After you beat the game, you could still play the game and do all the sides.
Right, because like open world.
Yeah.
The main story is actually really good story. Except Doc Ock kind of bugs me because my Doc Ock has a bowl cut. This one has like is bald.
Yeah, I saw how he looked. I didn't like it.
Version of the story.
I kind of don't like how anyone looked.
I didn't like how Peter looked. I didn't like how Mary Jane looked. Like
in this version of the story, In this version of the story, Doc Ock is Peter's mentor because I know he had different mentors in different versions of Spider-Man out.
Hold on, Tarko. Let Joe go.
You read more Spider-Man than me. Is Mary Jane a reporter now?
No.
Yeah, I thought that was really odd.
She was Lois Lane in this thing.
Yeah, like I don't know why they did that.
The thing you have to remember is this:
there are ways to get involved with the story without doing that.
Like Mary Jane has been. Hold on, Tagline. Look, I'm about to school you on some knowledge. Like, just sit back, relax, pull your dick out, and just listen. Mary Jane is a model. Like nowadays more than ever, you can understand what Mary Jane did back through the 70s, 80s, and 90s in comics because you have your social media now. Like anybody can label themselves a model and get a following, and then that'll lead to some jobs like presenting shit on TV awards and shit like that. And that's kind of what Mary Jane did in the past. She was a soap opera actress. She was a model, supermodel, and that led her to do odd jobs like maybe like comment on a news segment, you know, and shit like that. So she did a lot of different things in terms of being in demand as a model, influencer, commentator, and things like that. So she was always doing a lot of different things like that, but she was never really like a full-on reporter.
Yeah, okay. I thought that was such an odd choice for them to do that to her.
One thing you have to remember is this version of Spider-Man, the Spider-Man that has been around for a couple of years now. He's been Spider-Man for some time. So he's like in his, I think he's in his 30s or somewhere in the 20s. I don't know how old he is.
He's in his 20s. He's been Spider-Man for 8 years at that point.
Yeah, because in the game, when you know those backpacks that you collect, there are items in those backpacks that are basically trinkets from the past. So you hear like little backstories about the things that you collect on there, like when he used his early versions of the web shooters and stuff like that. So you get little bits of information about this version of Spider-Man. What's he been up to? And all the supervillains that you fight, he fought them already before. And stuff like that.
Except for Doc Ock.
Yeah, except for Doc Ock. Because the story is pretty much the story centers around him and Doc Ock and his relationship with Doc Ock.
And except for the main villain,
Mr. Negative, it's his first time fighting him.
Yeah, I mean, when did Mr. Negative came in? When did he show up in Spider-Man? Because he's a relatively new character.
Like 10, 12, 15 years, maybe more. I believe he was created by Dan Slott, but back in the day, like in the One More Daytime era.
Interesting.
It's a fun game, and actually the parts that I didn't like about it were the when you play as somebody other than Peter Parker. Because I'm going through it, I'm beating up bad guys, I'm stopping crimes, I'm saving this, and I'm interested in the story, and then suddenly it puts the brakes on all of that, and you basically have to do a stealth mission with somebody with no power. And yeah, I didn't like it when it was Jane.
I didn't like it when it was the other character that I feel like they just jammed in there for no reason other than, I guess, people know this character. I don't want to mention name because it's kind of a spoiler.
Yeah, just say it. Larry's
Miles
not
Morales? Is it Miles Morales?
Yeah.
But that wasn't a spoiler. He's in the trailer.
Yeah, they're also setting him.
But you play
also setting him up too
with no powers.
You play him before he had the power.
So every time you play as him is annoying because it's basically you have to be stealthy and get from point A to point B and not get caught or else it's game over.
Yeah, I mean, I had no problems.
It's stupid.
That.
I've been Spider-Man for like 2 hours straight, and then now I got to be this dude with no power.
Like nobody really like. I mean, if you know Spider-Man, you know he's stealth by just going up high. Like he just goes off high beyond the field of view, like on a skyscraper or something. Like
here's another thing about
to that. Hide in the darkness like that. So the main villain is Mr. Negative.
No, he's not the main villain. It's actually Doc Ock.
Yeah,
he's just one of the
Tire Clock. The main villain of the game is Mr. Negative. The Doc Ock thing is a totally separate thing that has to do with the story.
Yeah,
Mr. Negative was working for Doc Ock, but most of the game you're going after Mr. Negative. That's your target, and anybody else that shows up is just kind of another piece of some grand master plan that Doc Ock's been putting together.
Oh yeah, in the
but
game,
Doc Ock, it's Mr. Negative is the main villain.
You're gonna fight Doc Ock in the sequel, or?
You fight him at the end, but it's a pretty big, long, epic fight. But he's not Doc Ock until the last 5% of this game.
It's a pretty emotional fight too.
I remember getting back into the game and seeing that I was like 85% done with the game, and Doc Ock is still not Doc Ock at that point. You know, he's just your professor giving you updates on how he's trying to get grant money for the project they've been working on.
And
I know what he become, and you start to see like every time they progress with their project because they're working on artificial limbs for veterans and stuff like that. You know where it's going. Do you know who that is? It's cool to see that progression, but half of the time you hear Doc Ock, it's just a voicemail he left on your cell phone because you've been so busy out there fighting crime.
Another thing about the voices is I like how you hear Spider-Man's voice change depending on what you're doing. Like if you're swinging across the city and there's dialogue with Spider-Man, he sounds like he's out of breath while he's swinging, but when he's just standing there and then talking, it just sounds normal.
Another thing about Doc Ock that kind of bugged me, and this might just be me, is he seemed like way too nice to Peter Parker. I like my Doc Ock like superior, where he thinks he's above everybody else because he's smarter than most people.
Yeah.
And that guy's adult, and how dare you try to match my genius, you inferior. That's my Doc Ock. That's what I like. And this guy was like...
That Doc Ock that you like doesn't come about until he finds out that Peter is Spider-Man, which is fairly recent. Like, he does have that in the past and stuff, but he's really like more of a bumbling, like, kind of like egomaniac. Like, he's superior to people, but he can't even take them seriously because he's Dr. Octopus. Like,
and he doesn't get that when he finds out in the game either. You know, he gets mad and paranoid, like, oh, you're gonna stab me in the back like so and so that stabbed me in the back 20 years ago and steal my inventions. But he doesn't have that condescending attitude towards even the lesser villain in the game, which is who he should have that for. Like Rhino's an idiot in this game.
Yeah.
That's somebody he should refer to that way, and he just doesn't.
Well, he's trying to use him.
He could refer to him like that when he talks to Parker about him.
Okay, now speaking of the villains, there was another villain that the game that I fought against, that's one of the side men. I haven't heard about this villain before. Tombstone? he's another new villain. Tombstone. What's so funny?
That you don't read fucking comics.
You don't know who Tombstone is.
Yeah, like you don't read comics, you don't watch cartoons, you don't listen to this fucking show.
I mean,
like we
this
mentioned
this Tombstone guy.
Like, we literally like our review of Amazing Spider-Man 2 was like, you know what? Jamie Foxx shouldn't have been Electro. He should have been Tombstone.
I think like, Tombstone should have been played by. I think Tombstone, if they were to put Tombstone in a movie, he should be played definitely by Vin Diesel because he kind of gives me off this because he's this bald dude.
Broadcasting. I don't care if you're broadcasting. I don't want to be with you on the same airwaves right now. Vin Diesel. Get the fuck out of my face.
Language.
Vin Diesel ain't worse. Vin Diesel doesn't deserve to lick the sweat off of Tombstone's balls.
I don't even know.
I can't think of the guy's name, but the guy that played Kingpin in Daredevil would make a pretty good Tombstone.
D'Onofrio.
But he's probably you need a black guy for Tombstone. Tombstone's a black guy.
That's what I said. The guy that played Kingpin in Daredevil.
The original Daredevil. Oh, he's dead.
Yeah, Michael Clark Duncan is dead. But I mean, that still could have been Tombstone. Like, I would have taken him over anybody else. But I honestly, I think, like, the dude that played, there's a lot of good black cis male actors that could do a banging job as Tombstone right now. Like, it'd be the good time to bring Tombstone to a movie screen right now.
Hell, and Jamie Foxx could still do it.
Yeah, he could still do it. But it's too late for him. I don't want.
Luke Cage could do it.
Maybe. Well, they're shooting the new Spider-Man movie. Maybe there's.
Did he say Nick Cage or Luke Cage?
Luke Cage. I don't know the guy's name.
I heard Nick Cage. I'm like, well,
no,
it's not Luke really Cage, blackface that guy. If it's gray, right?
Yeah, no. Nah, like, I mean, you need like a cool black character with some gravitas. There's actually like a few actors that can pull that off right now. Like Joe's favorite, Courtney B. Vance.
I like Courtney.
He's good.
I met him. He's a real nice guy.
Yeah, I don't think he could really be Tombstone, but he's got the gravitas. But he's a little older and not in shape. You know what I mean?
Like Courtney B. Vance is too small to be Tombstone.
Yeah, Tombstone needs to be like a big, like, is a dude like that's kind of like made out of stone. He's imposing, but
like Terry Crews, if he wasn't such a goofball, like he has the build for it.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, for him, I'd rather see him be a hero than a villain.
I can see that.
All in all, this Spider-Man game, you guys really think this game is worth me buying a PS4 and getting the game?
It's worth you stealing Lawrence's.
Comes out.
One at a time.
Oh, I was saying, ask me after the rest of the DLC comes out.
Another thing, the music in the game is pretty good.
One was pretty weird.
The music in the game is pretty good, except I wish they did classic Spider-Man.
The music
in the game was a little too good.
It was the Flash music, right? In the TV show? Like, I'm not the only one that thinks that, right?
I don't watch the Flash.
Have you watched the Flash TV show?
Depends which version of the Flash you're talking about.
The new one.
The only one.
I seen one, a little bits of it.
But he didn't hear the TV show.
The music that they use in that show is the entire background soundtrack to this game. Like, especially when Barry powers up and there's a specific music. You know, each show has a specific music for the heroes.
Oh, you're talking about like when Spider-Man starts swinging around the city, the music changes? Because the music changes depending on what you're doing in the game.
I heard several different versions that sound like a lot of the music I hear in The Flash.
Another thing.
Like this?
That one, and then there's another one that's like a faster beat that's like.
Hold on, let me see if I can find it.
There you go, that's it, right there.
That's the Flash music.
That's the background to Spider-Man.
Let's see.
I
think I found the music here. Let me see.
Well, I already played the Flash. Like,
here you go. Here
you
it is.
You gotta play the Spider-Man one.
That's what I'm playing right now. See? It says here main theme epic music. Oh, wait. Hold on. My bad. That's the Spider-Man 3 Spider-Man 3 game music. Hold on.
That's even worse if that's like they went that back.
I don't like how my job is packing the show.
Let me see. Spider-Man PS4 theme free. Okay, this has to be the one. Here it is.
What's happening, everybody? Jason.
Well, no, that's not it.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's exactly what it is.
Damn it. I'm trying to find. Okay. PS4. Wait, I'm going to find it. Don't worry about it. I just need to do a proper search.
Next time on Fantastic Forum.
Okay, this is it right here. This is it. Okay, here we go. Okay, this is it. Yep, that's the one.
Yeah.
Same song. They just added a horn.
It is. It's basically the same. It works the same. It is a crescendo type dynamic with string arrangement, and you can cut it off already. Like,
but it's like it's so
close. It's one of those, like, when an artist gets sued and you hear them play side by side.
Well, it's the same dynamic. They use the same instruments. They probably have I'm willing to bet it's the same guy that scores it. And then on top of that, it's really, like, it all goes back to the first season of The Flash, which I said on this very show, they turned Barry Allen into Spider-Man. Like, so technically...
I'm pretty sure you say that again every other
day. Yeah, but, you know, I'm giving them a reference to go back and listen to a specific broadcast archive. But that's just what it is. It's like, that dynamic fits Spider-Man because Flash did it and they turned him into Spider-Man. Like, that slot's run of him getting the company and everything and having all these resources to do things is exactly the first season of The Flash.
The composer for this game is Joe Paisano. John Paisano.
That's not that's just The Flash.
All that to say, it's a good game. I'd recommend buying you because it is kind of short.
I heard it's only 20 hours to beat it already. Yeah.
I honestly don't know how long it took me to beat it hours wise, but it felt short. Even getting all the collectibles, except for the hidden images that Joe's getting, and I'm not because he's cooler than me.
Well, I mean, you can find where the hidden images are. There's a superpower that you unlocked, I think, after you beat the game.
Right, but like I said, I don't use the stupid superpowers because I just want to be regular Spider-Man with nothing extra.
Which is how you should be if you're Spider-Man.
Right, so that's how I played it. I didn't get the superpower that makes pops out a guitar and does crazy.
That's but you're going to be struggling beating those bosses and all the enemies without those powers.
You know what? I beat the fucking game already. I beat the game and I never switched superpowers.
Yeah, I mean, you have so much time on your hands.
I can play a game.
Did you play on easy, medium, or hard difficulty?
I always play on normal because that's the way games were made to be played.
Okay.
Normal seems like the setting, like that's the level of difficulty that they want you to play it at. Hard is if I'm playing it a second time and, well, now I want it to be a little bit tougher, you know, keep me engaged a little bit more. Yeah. If I'm going to play a game on easy, I might as well just watch it on YouTube.
I heard that they're going to add New Game Plus as one of the patches.
Well, that doesn't help me because I already game.
You're not gonna bother playing the DLC that's coming out?
No, what for?
I mean,
what DLC is coming out? More suits?
I bought the deluxe, so I'll be able to play all those DLCs.
I got the fucking statue sitting right in front of me.
I'm talking about the DLC.
Well, I'm pretty sure my edition will come with the DLC.
If they wanted him to play the DLC, it would have been part of the game at the beginning, just like deleted scenes.
The DLC that I got, the movie suits and all that. I mean, I got that, never used them, because I tried the Iron Spider suit from the movie, and it was 5 minutes before I said, fuck this shit, and I went back to, like, the classic Spider-Man suit.
Another thing. What did you think of J. Jonah Jameson game? Because they made him a podcaster, and he sounds like Alex Jones.
They turned him into Alex Jones.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Which, it's kind of cool, because you're swinging through the city, and he just pops up, and let's say you did, like, a side mission, and he just starts, like, talking about what happened, but, you know, twisting it into this is why Spider-Man sucks. So that's kind of interesting. Like, you bust the drug lab, and he's talking about how, well, while it's good that this drug dealer is now in prison, he set the place on fire, and, you know, when you set chemicals on fire, that tends to explode, and this is why Spider-Man he just goes off on you.
He also comments when you not ignore some crime, because you get these random crime events happening around the city, and if you don't participate on them, he will sometimes make comments about it, like a caller, and the caller will comment that they saw Spider-Man by, but he never did anything.
Right, I wouldn't know about that, because as Spider-Man, I didn't ignore crimes.
So you did everything
that shows up. I saw every fucking crime. Yes, 100% everything. I got the naked Spider-Man.
Yeah, but at some point, you know, that those crime stuff starts to repeat it's the same stuff over and over again.
But that's what life is. Like, that's what... If Spider-Man had no supervillains, that's what he'd be doing. He'd be stopping taggers every night in his area of the city.
And you know what? It's not over and over again. It's the same crime five times. Because once you stop it five times, sometimes it doesn't show up anymore.
Most of the time, it's just same. You know, you got to go beat up the
dudes. It's better than real life.
And sometimes some of these crimes is you got to stop a car.
There's only a certain amount of times you have to stop a crime before it stops showing up.
And sometimes, you know, one of the crimes is a car got stolen. You got to chase the car down and wipe, take the criminals out of the car, and then you got to stop the car. The game does have quick time event like every other Spider-Man.
Yeah, but if they annoy you, there's a setting where it'll just play it as a movie.
Yeah, but still, there are moments where you got to press these buttons at a specific moment in order to trigger.
There's a video game that makes you press buttons. You're right. You know what? I didn't think about this game sucks.
You have to press it at the right moment. Otherwise, if you miss the timing, then you die.
But that's right. That's what makes games like games. You know, like, one of the greatest games ever, God of War, is all that. Like, it's button mashing and that.
Critically acclaimed Heavy Rain is literally just QuickTime event.
Is that backwards compatible on the PS4?
I think it is a PS4 game, actually.
No, I know it was a PS3 game, but...
Oh.
I don't know if you can buy
it on the PS4.
Okay, I might get a PS4 then, because I did want to play that a lot, like, when it came out. I love that it's just quick, like, active time events.
Yeah, it's basically the first Telltale, but not the Telltale.
No, like, they did that before Heavy Rain.
Oh.
But, yeah.
Well, that's another game I'm not going to play. But either way, like I was saying about Spider-Man, I'd buy it used because you'll go through it really quick. The bonus material, all the extra suits, doesn't really matter. Like I said, the suits really have no effect. I mean, there's powers associated that you can add to them, but all of those are kind of stupid.
Like, I don't want to play guitar as Punk Spider-Man.
Right, but you can wear the Punk Spider-Man suit and not have that.
But I don't want to wear that either, because that guy was kind of a... Like, he was cool, but he was cool in Spider-Verse, but he's not, like, the guy I want Spider-Verse... Like, he's not the guy in Spider-Verse that I want to win.
Fortunately for you, I think that Punk Spider-Man was a pre-order bonus, so you won't even get that guy. Perfect. Yay! You do
the
get
Web
some classic
Blossom
suits.
Is actually pretty cool.
You do get...
Web Blossom?
Web Blossom. He basically... Web shoots out of his ass and goes all over everybody.
Well, his hands, not his ass.
He just hands shoots ass, webs. Same thing. He just shoots webs all over the place. So
I just used the web bomb. Same effect, you know. But
like using the spider drone because it follows you around.
Again, there's a spider
that's
drone.
That's a Superior thing too, right? Like, didn't Superior had that before?
Superior had it first, but because of the Homecoming movie, they made it a Peter Parker thing. Well, I actually. Technically, it's a Tony Stark thing.
Yeah, that's the
thing. In Homecoming, he had that drone. Yeah. But yeah, that is, in fact, the drones he actually does use, and because you can actually remote control one at one point as part of a mission, is the actual, exactly the Superior drone. Like, okay. It looks like it and everything, but, you know, Doc is still just a scientist trying to build a fake arm for veterans.
With arachnophobia.
What do you think of those side missions that were, like, about pollution? Because what's funny is, everything in the game looks clean, but as soon as you go into one of those pollution missions, you see like fog now, you see like stuff there that you didn't see before, but that only shows up in those.
It was fine. I mean, the whole point is you have to swing through the pollution, so you have to be able to see it. It was actually a little jarring when you do one of those side missions and it's supposed to take place either in the day or the night, so I change the time, because let's say at that point in the story you're in the daytime, and then it just switches day, you know, time of day on you, and it kind of throws you off, because hey, wasn't I supposed to meet so and so, you know? Wasn't I on the way to do something, and now
that is kind of strange.
What the hell's happening?
That is kind of strange. I don't know why it does that, you know.
But there's not even that many of those. That happened like twice to me. Maybe I just did the side missions at the appropriate time. But the side missions, I mean,
they were kind of fun. They were interesting enough that I went through all of them. The Arkham City games, I haven't gone through all the side stuff because at some point I'm like, okay, well, now I'm bored. You know, I finished the story, I'm bored now.
What about the puzzles? What about the puzzles? Because that's what
I did all that shit.
The puzzles in the game was a section
The puzzles aren't even puzzles. They're easy.
I was struggling with some of the puzzles.
Were crazy. All the puzzles are actually interesting because it's Peter Parker being smart. You know, it's like, well, the interface for the robotic arms aren't working right. Peter Parker, you take a look at it, and Peter Parker like rearranging the circuits to make something work better, or figuring out, okay, these chemicals are in this solution, and it's Peter Parker being smart.
Yeah, but you know, there are times where these puzzles get too hard that I had to do a Google search to figure out how to figure out these puzzles. So I had to cheat a little.
Well, that's a you problem because I never had any problem with
these puzzles. I'm not a puzzle solving guy. I'm not really good at solving puzzles. That's why I had to
One of the Google obstacle search. Ones couldn't figure out.
There are some really easy ones, but then
there's a circuit board and there's the chemical analysis, which is really just match the lines.
Yeah, but But sooner or later,
I'm asking Joe. So which one, was there one that really made you struggle?
Yeah, the circuit board one, like one of the optional ones at the end. I didn't realize that you only had to match the number. Like I was trying to get it to go to all the edges, but you only have to get the edges with the right number. So that threw me off for a little bit.
But
after I figured that, it was like good.
Because the little piece, the numbers on them, the number 2, 4, 1 or 3, whatever, you put some of those on there and it usually goes over target number or below it.
Right, but then you could just change that one number.
Yeah.
You don't have to like take everything out and start over. Just change that one specific one. Like, oh,
right.
I'm -2, I'm supposed to be at 0. Here, let me change that -4 to a -2. Boom, now it's 0.
But then, are the puzzles harder than hacking the terminals in Fallout 4?
No, it's easier. Because in Fallout 4, you can actually fail.
Yeah.
In these puzzles, you can, like, it gives you these pieces. You can put them all on the board. And if like what Tyre Claw said, if the number didn't come out right, if you know you're supposed to have 5 bolts going to this, you got 3. Well, then you can go back and swap it out. You know, like the circuits. The main point is to get from the power's coming in on one side, and it has to get to the other side. And then sometimes you change the voltage in between, so you have something. You have like a chip that gives it negative voltage, and a chip that gives it positive voltage. And like I said, the easy way to solve those is just get that power from one side to the next, and then just start adjusting the numbered voltages till you get the number you're supposed to get. Because you don't have to take them all out; you can take out that one specific.
Yeah, the one that's
But there are some pieces that have the little arrows that are pointing at the direction where the current is supposed to go. So you always got to make sure that you put the right ones on there because
you can turn them.
Yeah, but some
So if it's facing the wrong way, you just turn it the other way.
Yeah, but there's some of those that have the arrows pointing the opposite direction, so you have to put those.
Right, so you flip it over.
Yeah.
So you turn it 180 degrees.
Yeah, but sometimes
I mean, all these chips either goes in a line or a L, like a turn. And you know what? If for some reason the power won't go through, then take that chip out and you put one that, or the arrow's pointing the other way.
Yeah, true. It just gets a lot harder when you have to put a lot more of those, and then you run out of, you have to take out the ones and then put the correct ones on there so you can have the right number of pieces left.
Right, you know what, Terror Claw? That's life. Sometimes you just run out of pieces and you have to put the right
Which one. Is exactly why I'm not a puzzle solving person.
How many web bombs do you give this game out of 5?
4.5. It's fun. I wish it was longer. The half is just because I bought it brand new, and I really recommend people buy it. You save yourself a few bucks. You'll enjoy the hell out of this game, but it's quick. Especially
especially if you just do the main story, and the main story is the best thing about this game. It's done really well. It was emotional.
I mean, I don't know if we should spoil the ending of the game or not.
Just how many out of five, how many web bombs you give it?
I'm going to have to say five, because I really enjoyed this game. I haven't played a Spider-Man game since Spider-Man 3 on the 60. There have been Spider-Man games that came after that since, there have been Spider-Man games after 3, but they were all different and not open world like. And you know, this one really lived up to the hype.
Did you ever play Ultimate Spider-Man?
No. Spider-Man 3 was the one before this. That was it.
Joe, how many web bombs out of five do you give it?
I would give it 4. Or I'm going to give it 4, but I'm reserving the right to change after the next 2 DLCs drop.
Cool.
What are the next 2 DLCs supposed to be?
They haven't announced yet.
I know one of them.
But the first one was kind of weak.
The first DLC they announced. What was the first one? The first one that they announced is the Felicia one with Black Cat.
Wait, that was a DLC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's a DLC with Black Cat.
Because the Black Cat
No, it's just the taking the pictures.
Yeah, the Black Cat stuff in the main game was basically you searching for a toy cat around the city. She put a camera.
I didn't even realize that was DLC. Like, that...
That sounds retarded.
Black Cat is scouting... It's not retarded.
Like, that one actually is interesting. Okay. Like, it's interesting. Not retarded.
Tired Claw's not good at stuff. It's not taking
the Black
pictures.
Cat stuff they're talking it's about is...
Black Cat is going to go on a crime spree, and she's staking out places, and you have to go figure out what she's been staking out so you can catch her.
Do you actually get to catch her?
No.
No, because she's Black Cat.
No, because they're saving her for the upcoming DLC that they're going to release in a month.
All right.
So you don't see her show up
holistically. Yeah, I get that. That is our review for Spider-Man the game. Everybody loves it. I haven't played it. I found out all I need to know about it. Real quick, I do want to do news, and I do have a review. So I read this week, I read Batman Damned number 1. Damned is the first issue of DC's new imprint, Black Label, which is, you know, they re-released the Vertigo, or not re-released Vertigo, but they started adding stuff to the Vertigo line that makes it Vertigo. And honestly, like, nobody's reading it. Like, I'm pretty sure nobody's reading it. If I'm not reading the new Sandman book, it means nobody's reading it. I defy anybody to tell me they're reading Vertigo line right now. But DC Black Label started off with Batman Damned number 1, which is Brian Azzarello, one of my favorite writers from back in my teen years. He wrote Hellblazer, 100 Bullets, Spaceman, El Diablo, Loveless, did a bunch of good, bunch of great ass fucking comics for Vertigo. And now this comic book right here is how they launch a new imprint. They got Brian Azzarello writing, Lee Bermejo drawing or painting, because he's a fucking painter, paints every panel of this fucking comic, and it is a very dark, more comic book that starts with Batman on a fucking gurney flatlining in an ambulance, and it just takes off from there. The story is being narrated, and it's narrated in a weird way where it feels like a poem. It has a weird accent to it. You don't know what it is. It turns out the story is being narrated by John Constantine. So it's basically the Hellblazer telling you about what happened to Batman on the day that the Joker was found dead in the river. And it's actually a supernatural thriller noir set in Gotham, starring Batman, Deadman, and Constantine. So far, those are the characters that come out. It was really good. Constantine actually smoked cigarettes in it, and the shit's fucking amazing. This is the DC book I've been waiting for the last 8 years.
This is going to be a three-parter, right?
I don't know if it's three parts. It is a it's probably like a graphic novel that they broke off, and it comes out every 2 months.
2 months?
Yeah, it said bi-monthly.
Jeez. I mean,
yeah.
Well, that could mean every 2 weeks.
You know, if it was a bunch of, like, crappy artists, like, working together to make it happen, I believe it would be every 2 weeks, but this guy is painting it. Like, every panel looks like a painting.
Yeah, my cousin's really slow at that.
Well, no, painting takes time.
Yeah, if you want to do it right.
I mean, just waiting for it to dry.
I keep telling him to collect check. Try to be Jim Lee.
Nah, man. Your sweet
Jim Lee has other people draw for him.
No, I'm not talking talent wise. I'm talking about turning your shit in on time.
Yeah. No. Well, look, he's painting it. Like he's the shit's great. It actually does this weird thing where Batman has these recurring nightmares with Enchantress trying to fuck with him, and they're all nightmares but flashbacks about his past as a child with Enchantress in them. So it's like he's reliving those moments as a child when he wasn't Batman before his parents died, and Enchantress is tormenting him in it. And that's a whole other like dynamic to this that I don't know where that's going.
How many pages is it? Is it standard size?
I feel like it is. Let's see here. I have it right here. I bought it digitally.
I asked because I do remember reading that it was going to be a 3-issue series.
Mm-hmm.
It could be more. I mean, a standard trade paperback is what, 6? Or not even standard.
Yeah,
but...
this is a graphic novel, so it could be 3. But the page count, I think, is more than just a standard comic. So okay. It's probably 3 parts, but it's like 6 issues. Let's see here. We'll count together, like Sesame Street. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. But I'm here for the experience. 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36.
Standard's only like 24. 36, 39, 40, plus the preview page, 49. This is about 48 pages.
Okay, so
double size. 48, so exactly double size. Well, which would make a 3-issue series, a 6-issue standard, which would make a decent trade paperback. Okay.
Which, if you remember, what is it, Batman Joker, that they did together? That's the one...
The first Lee Bermejo one where he made the Joker look like Heath Ledger accidentally.
Yeah. Well, he did it first, but yeah.
He did it first, but it came out after.
Right. They call that the Chelsea grin, that like scar or wound rather, where you stretch out the smile. But yeah, that's the one they did. And this one, it feels like a sequel to it, but it does have a paranormal take to it. So it could be a sequel. I'm failing you, the audience, and in a moment of honesty, I'm confiding in you and asking for your forgiveness for not having read this ahead of time, or more importantly, not do the pre-production to read the wiki on it, to pretend like I've read it ahead of time. So, but in a moment of honesty, I throw myself to your mercy and apologize for not knowing if this is actually a sequel to it 100%. It feels like it because of the writing and art, and the fact that the Joker is a main part of it. But this is a really good book, and I'm even willing to forgive DC's transgressions in the past, just so long that they can pay these people to keep making this book.
So are you going to consider the Black imprint the Black Label not part of the regular DC, you know, like another vertical?
Well, no, that's the thing, like, I think these are not in continuity, and the vertical is kind of, like, I don't know what the thing is. Like, I defy anybody on the line right now, anybody in chat, to tell me what is in Vertigo right now, like, other than Sandman. Like, they have like 5-6 books. I can't name anything other than Sandman, like, in the Sandman universe. So it's like it's literally diluting everything they did. I think Neil Gaiman's still writing it, but the art's all weird. And
they had a few issues of Hellblazer come out recent, but I think those felt like they were just leftovers.
Yeah, they're leftover from when they moved him to New 52.
Like, they found that shit cleaning out an attic, and like, well, shit, we probably already paid for this. So just throw it out there.
Yeah, they look and feel like just backup. Like, they don't belong, you know, because art changes with time a little bit, you know, unless you're like a timeless artist. So, yeah, I don't know. Black Label is the way to go. I want to see what they do with other things. Black Label was touted as their mature line of, like, graphic novel. Like, it's going to be the DC characters, but in more mature situation. And that's exactly what this feels like. And if you're going to launch it, like, you know, with Brian Azzarello and Lou Bermejo, like, that's the way to go. Like, this is how you get my fucking money. Yeah,
look, I might have to stop by a shop tomorrow and pick that up.
Yeah, man.
Assuming they have it,
because the shops around here are
I give it 5 expletives out of 5. Because they're actually cursing it, too. Like,
I heard they censored Bruce Wayne's penis in it.
Oh, I'm
happy about that.
Honestly, I didn't miss his penis. Like,
dude, that's bullshit.
I don't know if it's true. I haven't actually seen it, but when I was looking up the book, that was one of the headlines was, Bruce Wayne's censored penis is not the strangest thing about this book, or something like that.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, did they, like, blur it out? Or did it show?
I think if the ones, the pictures that I saw were it, because I scrolled through it real quick. Not the book, but the story.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just one of those where he takes off his bat suit and he's naked underneath, and so there's just a shadow in that area.
Oh, yeah, that happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
I found the image.
I guess that counts as... Of course you
do. How long did it take you to come?
I'm gonna call my cousin and have him send you that picture, that painting. I think you've earned it. You can display it proudly next to your window frames.
It doesn't feel like they censored it or blurred it out. You know what I mean?
Right, because Lieberman's talent.
Yeah, it's just Shadow, like, he's in the Batcave. And he was switching from costume to undercover, like, garb. You know what I mean? But he was still, like, he had to take off the suit to have the Bat computer scan his body. Because he had been, like, mortally stabbed. But, and I think he kind of died, and Constantine brought him back. So, like, he doesn't have any, like, he's scanning for the wounds he felt, but there's nothing, like, there. Like, he just has the holes in the suit. But he, like, he did the thing where he disappears from people when they're talking to him, as Constantine was trying to explain to him what happened. So we didn't get to see that.
Well, I wasn't planning to go to a comic book shop until Superior comes out, but I'm going to have to take a trip tomorrow now.
Why would you want to get Superior? Like, it's not even that slot. Like,
at least the first couple of issues. I got to see if it's anything like the Superior Spider-Man that I like.
But, well, I guess, I mean, you don't read Spider-Man like I do, so you don't know what writers, like, do good stuff.
No, in fact, look, the last run of Spider-Man I read was here, and I went a couple issues into Peter Parker coming back, but
yeah.
I got off that shit real quick. Then I went back into it when Superior comes back in the Spider-Verse stuff, so I read that. I don't know, Peter Parker just doesn't interest me that much. Doc Ock is a character I can relate with, you know?
The bowl cut and the glasses.
The genius that was shunned during his childhood because he is a genius, and now he's living in a world where 90% of the population is inferior to him. I understand this dude. Click. I call most of the people I meet, I call them adult, and they don't know what I'm talking about, which proves my point.
Does that mean you're going to soon become Doc Ock yourself?
He's already Doc Cock.
Yeah, well, I call myself the Dangler, but I've hung up the cape.
With that, we're going to play the wrap-up music, because it's time to go.
We didn't even get to the news.
I didn't get to talk about any of the comics I read.
Oh, give us a quick review, Joe. What comics did you...
I'll talk about Jughead the Hunger, number 8.
Okay.
This is basically the, like, epilogue of the first arc, prologue of the second arc, and it's like a reporter doing a expose, like TV show, whatever, and they're basically going through the whole history of werewolves in Riverdale, and we also have Hiram Lodge saying that he's going to be personally looking into the legends to, like, finally get to the truth of whether or not werewolves exist. And it's done pretty good. Like, it gives us a bunch of new information and really leads into whatever they're going to do next. Pretty awesome. Definitely worth checking out.
Cool. Have you seen
it a 4 out of 5.
Have you seen any of the teasers for the Netflix Sabrina?
No, I haven't.
You should look that up. It looked pretty good. The chick that plays Sabrina looks a little young, but it's cool because she's from the poster. You remember in the comic, like, on her 16th birthday, she did the whole seance thing, the whole black mass in the woods?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they're doing it for Netflix as 18 years old. So that was a little weird. Like, if she's the actress I thought looked too young, but if she's playing 16, then it's okay. But once they made her, like, of legal age, like, now I think she looks too young again. But other than that, everything looks good.
Okay. And, yeah, I just wanted to review real quick because we're running out of time. But I got some other stuff to talk about. Vampironica number 3 next week. Or I guess I'll talk about it next week.
Cool.
But also Vampironica number 3, which was pretty good, too. Actually, that was really good. But.
Yeah. I'll catch up on it, and we can talk about it next week.
And then Natural.
Oh, what, you're on issue 3 already?
Yeah, and it's now it's start like it's awesome because issue 3 is where the story actually starts.
That's the one with the date rape, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good issue.
Yeah.
Not because of the date rape, but yeah.
Yeah, and here's where the mystery starts.
Yeah.
Like, the first two are setting up the world. Now, issue 3 starts setting up the mystery. But yeah. More on that next week.
Yeah, that hot pig ass.
I guess West Coast Avengers, if we get time.
Yeah, and we're going to have a... I hope Larry doesn't show up next week either, so we have... less people talking.
Wait, Larry's not showing up next weekend?
No, but it'll give us more time to get to everything, because that way he doesn't have anything to review also.
Oh, sorry, I ruined the show by calling
in. You did. I was planning on just being me and Tiger Claw. That's why we planned on, you know, then Joe showed up like last minute, and it's like, okay, we have all this stuff to get to. Yeah, let's do it. We have a full show. Now we have too much.
Yeah, the messed up part is I think I want to hear the Mo and Tiger Claw show.
Yeah, look, it's going to be... Look, we might have to do it like aside, like Fantastic Four Gaiden, because I had planned it. Like, I was gonna manipulate him to be like the good like newscaster guy and everything. Like, I had it planned. Like, the moment, you know, an hour before we went on air, yeah.
It probably would have been the other way around. I probably been the one.
You would have loved it. You would have loved it. It would have been fine. The moment you guys told me you guys weren't gonna be on, I just like kicked into like television producer guy.
There was so much talk about that universe service that I even have one of the news pieces of news regarding that.
We're not gonna say that till next week.
I apologize to the audience for depriving you of the Mo and Tiger Claw show.
I was excited, that's okay.
I'm glad that you guys came on because I don't think I could deal with.
You would have loved it.
Because we would have been here all night.
Guess I'm not calling in next week.
No, call in next week.
Look, if I can.
That really depends. If Lawrence is around.
Either way, we got Joe next week already confirmed, so you don't have to call in. Larry is probably going to have something better to do like he did today. He calls it work, but we all know what he's up to.
Right, look, technically I had work. I still did 75% of the show.
Yeah. Well, Targon, play that wrap-up music, man. Final thoughts, Joe, man, give me some of that final thoughts.
Just again, you should really be checking out Black Clover. It's really good. I'm having a really good time with it. It starts good and gets better.
Oz, give me a little final thought.
I have a code for a free month of Marvel Universe that I'd probably be giving away. I'll let Mo figure out how he wants to do that because he handles all the social media stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll just send that out to him. He'll figure out how to do it, and he'll probably just unlock it for himself.
Well, that's what I do. I lock it for myself and give the post away, and then everybody thinks they missed out.
Okay, it works.
Yeah, that's fine. Tiger Claw, a little final thoughts from you.
My final thought is go play Spider-Man on the PS4. You're going to love it. You'll either love it or hate it, depending on which version of Spider-Man you like.
And then for Larry's final thought, I'll read something out of chat. Hecht asked, at Moses Magnum, did you listen to the DC's heavy like metal playlist thing, metal album? And I'm actually curious about it. None of those songs were featured in the books at all, but I want to see what they put. I know Greg Capullo is a big metalhead, so he probably had some input in it. Shoot me the playlist link and I'll check it out. I'm sure I could just find it on Spotify or something, but you send it to me. And for the rest of us here at allgames.com, thank you for listening. Check us out on allgames.com/FF for archives, iTunes, Twitter, Instagram. It's all Fantastic Forum. And keep up to date. Anything you want to see reviewed, anything you want to hear our thoughts on, just shoot us an email, fantasticforum@allgames.com. And for the rest of us, Larry included, we'll catch you next week right here on allgames.com.